Yeah, we're back. It's been a good day so far. UFOs are back in the news. Did you hear about that?
No, I've been working on my book. I've been reading about murders all day.
It's not really back in the news. It's just that everybody is now, it seems like everybody on my fucking feed, including, I think maybe some news, must have been mentioned in the news. They're talking about how the Air Force or the Air Force and the Navy, the Pentagon, that's what it is, that the Pentagon is verifying all them damn UFO videos that the Navy took. Yeah, this goes back to 2015.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I remember hearing about
Yeah,
that
but
a
they're
while
just
back.
like, yeah, that's real. You know, we don't know what that is. It's a UAV or UAF or UAP. That's what they call it, right? Unidentified aerial
Aerial
phenomena.
pierogi.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it doing, kitty? You gonna show him your ass? Gonna show him? You gonna give him some ass? Give him say boink. The fucking pops up. What is up with you?
It's Pookie's
Come
daily
over here, see.
butt showing.
Yeah,
She's so
she just wants to
funny.
hang out.
Yeah, she's like, where did you
Yeah,
guys
but
go?
I don't know, man. That's just some weird stuff. That little dot going across the top of the ocean, and them locking onto it, and all the pilots just going, "Whoa, whoa, what is that?" You know, there's no fucking heat signature of any kind of heat coming off of it. You know, because I know you know I had a jet rocket, right, or a rocket jet. Ramjet when I was a kid. You know, remember I told you that story? It was actually my dad bought it. He made the excuse. He made the excuse that it was for me, but so that's so he could buy it.
Well, yeah,
You know
that's
how
when
they
dads
do
all over the
it.
world do
Dads
that
do
kind
that
of
shit all around the world. They
shit.
had that shit back in the 70s. It was these aluminum, I guess they were aluminum, metal. Looked like a damn ramjet with a single wing on it. From the way I remember it, you put alcohol in it, it was on the end of a string, and it would ignite itself and start screaming. That sucker'd scream around. You'd have it on a wire. Must be about 100 foot of wire. You could add more wire if you wanted to. You know, this before radio control. Well, they had radio control, just too expensive. It
Yeah.
was just on a wire controlled, you know, you could get it to go up and down. That was it. And you just sling it around. That sucker must have been going about 300 miles an hour. I mean, screaming, you know. And then when it would run out of fuel, it'd hit the ground and bounce, you know, it was metal, and I'd run up to it, and my dad would, "Don't touch it, don't touch it." And that sucker would be sitting there just smoking.
Yeah.
Red hot.
Back when we had dangerous toys.
Yeah, back when fucking it was
When you
just
could put your eye out and
sitting
like
there
burn your
almost,
skin off
yeah.
your
You could
hands
see
and
the fucking
shit.
monkey waves coming off that thing. That thing must have been a fucking 1,000 degrees, man. It was fucking looking like it was getting ready to melt. That's back when they used to sell us shit like that.
Because I remember one of my favorite toys me and my brother had when we were growing up was those fucking, they would sell you that shit where you could make your own, like they had the thing maker, and then they
Yeah.
had that one thing that would look like a little foundry, and you could like melt wax discs or your crayons if you were into that, and you could make little like matchbox type cars out of
Yeah.
wax, you know what I mean? Like you could put like the little axles and the wheels in there and then melt wax over them and like make it. And
I
also they
remember all
doubled
that.
as crayons,
Yeah.
and it was super, super hot. I also had the Holly Hobby Easy Bake Oven. Used
Yeah,
to make
I remember
little
that.
tiny pies in there and shit like that.
But, you know, I'm just looking at these damn Looking at these damn gun camera footage and the sensors, and you would think something small like that just going as fast as it would just be, you know, burning red hot. It'd be giving a huge heat signature, a huge plume out the back of it, and nothing, just a dot. You know?
It's a dot from
It's a
space, an
dot, and
alien
yeah,
dot.
and the plane saw it, you know, they've got all the sensors. It was there. Everybody else in airplanes could see it. And then another one where they're behind it, and it just, they're tracking, and the thing that just went. It just took off. I mean, just
See
vanished. And they
ya.
were going, you know, hundreds of miles an hour when they were looking at it. And no plume or anything. Just unidentified aerial phenomenon. Yeah. I don't think we have any kind of propulsion system that can go that fast, that doesn't put out any heat.
Not that we know of, anyway.
No. But we got to give a shout out on a movie situation. Yesterday
Okay.
we got a package.
We got two packages, two little packages. Someone
Yep.
named Joseph, who had been talking to me on Facebook and said that he was sending us some stuff, like a care package. So
Yeah,
we got it yesterday, late yesterday afternoon.
it gave me a badass patch, a black patch with a fucking from Joy Division with little fucking, I don't know, little Reichsboom, the fucking dude, fucking beating the drum, little kid, you know,
Yeah,
fucking
like that very
from
old, like Joy Division
Joy
logo.
Division logo,
Just when they had become, well, they were Warsaw and then they became Joy Division. That was like
Yeah,
their
it looks
new
all
name.
Germanic and shit. It looked pretty cool. I got that.
You can
So
put that on your motorcycle jacket.
yeah, I was checking, but I don't really have a place for it on there. It's a little too big. I'll figure out something to do with it.
Yeah.
Maybe put it on a pair of pants.
We got a Depeche Mode one, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to do... Yeah, that would be cool, actually.
Put it on a pair of like black pants somewhere, because I got some of those pretty cool pants.
Yeah.
And then got some movies.
Yeah.
Got Winchester.
Yeah, I got to watch that one.
I
wanted to see that. We did a show about the Winchester Mystery House,
right? Yeah. Beetlejuice. We watched that one last night.
Yeah, I watched that last night. I love that movie.
Jenny wanted to get back into that.
Yeah.
I saw it, too.
That's one of my favorite
this
movies.
This is the one I'm waiting on.
Dolemite.
Rudy Ray. Rudy Ray more Dolemite. It says right in here, man, this is the fucking greatest fucking review of all times. The title for review, it says, The Citizen Kane of Kung Fu Pimpin' Movies.
See, it's like that...
The New York Times.
I mean, you have to watch it with a tagline like
the
that.
The Citizen Kane of Kung Fu Pimpin' Movies. And then you got fucking Rudy Ray's fucking face right there. Looks like... looks like after Eddie Murphy's movie came out, and it was called Dolemite Is My Name. I guess after that movie came out, they decided to re-release the Rudy Ray's movies.
I noticed that on, I think it was on Tubi when I was like looking through the shit they had the other day. Mm-hmm. They have a Rudy Ray movie that you can watch for free. I believe it's called Petey Wheatstraw, The Devil's Son-in-Law.
Oh, okay, yeah. That sounds about right.
Because I was like, I haven't had time to watch it yet, but I'm like, well, I gotta fucking watch that.
I saw Eddie Murphy's movie. If you guys haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It's probably still on Netflix, I would think.
I think it is, yeah.
It's called Dolemite Is My Name, and it's probably one of the best movies of that year. I really enjoyed that
movie. I did too. I liked it a lot.
I could not believe that Eddie Murphy was back, and he was back fucking strong.
Yeah.
It was like the Eddie Murphy that I grew up with. Like, high quality Eddie Murphy. And he
Primo
plays...
Eddie Murphy.
He plays Rudy Ray.
Yeah.
And it's like a comedy docudrama. It's like a real life story about this guy. All right. If you guys haven't seen it, go fucking see that flick. It is hilarious. It's hilarious, and it made me want to see these movies. I hadn't seen them.
Yeah.
But
I saw Dolemite, but it was a long time ago. I don't
think
I've
seen any of
them. In the
movie, Rudy Ray is making these movies.
Yeah.
That's what the movie is.
It's about his, like, the start of his career.
It's about his career.
And how he got around to making Dolemite.
It's a real feel-good movie, and it's just hilarious, you know?
It is. It's very, very
So, now I have a chance to see a high-quality Rudy Ray movie. Rudy Ray Moore movie. If it's good, I'll get more of them. I've heard... They're amusing, but the quality is spotty. Some of them are better than others. But we'll see.
Well, it's just like Ed Wood movies.
Just like Ed Wood movies.
You know, it's like some of them are more fun than others.
Yeah.
Some other things that were in this, like, look at all the stuff that he sent you guys. So I got the CD. This is a band called, I don't know if you can see that because it's white, but they're called Waste. They're like a rhythmic noise band, like an industrial band. And I'm very excited about this, and I'm going to make Tom play with me.
Yeah.
Is this really cool Edward Gorey-esque card game called Gloom.
Yeah, cool.
This looks kick-ass. We're going to have to... We should play it on the show. That would be really awesome, actually.
Take up the whole show,
It can be like...
There's the Depeche Mode patch.
Yeah.
Let me
see that.
Other patch, it's in my closet.
Yeah, see? I've got a Depeche Mode patch. So thank you very much, Joseph. Right. We were so, so excited. I was like, it's like Christmas, like every day around here. So, the other thing we wanted to talk about was on Shudder last night. If you're on Tom Shitty Movies and stuff, I think you started this conversation here because we had reviewed VFW, which was directed by Joe Bagos, of course, or Bagos, or however you pronounce his last name.
Yeah, and I got a good response when I posted that. People on Tom Shitty Movies liked it. A couple guys made comments about it.
And we had seen his other movie, Bliss, which came out in 2019, and we reviewed it, and you didn't like it. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked VFW much better. But then somebody said, oh, yeah, he had another movie that came out in 2015 called The Mind's Eye, which I think was actually his second movie. I'm not sure, but the first one was made for like 50 grand or something.
Yeah, he told me to watch it. He says it's basically Scanners 2.
It is.
It was like, sounded good. Watched it, and that's exactly
and
what
Shudder
it was.
Had that one as well. It had like, it pretty much had like his three main movies.
Yeah, and it's got kind of a John Carpenter style score in it, which I liked.
Yeah.
But it has a Cronenberg feel to the movie, especially as it goes on. The longer the movie's playing, the more Cronenberg it feels. It's pretty good. It's kind of like Cronenberg, but it does have a lot of Carpenter-esque kind of
moments. Yeah, it's like a crossover.
It's kind of like John Carpenter and Cronenberg making a movie together. That's kind of what it's like. That's
yeah, it like. Definitely did give me that kind of vibe.
Practical effects, dude's getting their head split open.
Yeah, many exploding heads.
Exploding heads. gunfights. They got a security guy in there that's fucking, you tell that, okay, that's Snake Plissken.
It's a Snake Plissken homage. Snake Plissken.
Yeah, it's like a younger version of Snake Plissken. And he's a psychic, too. Well, didn't he do some psychic shit?
He did, towards the very end? In one scene, yeah.
Yeah. Because I guess it's about this dude who owns this fucking institute that's studying psychokinesis, which is pretty much the kind of the same deal that you have out of
scanners. Yeah.
And it's on a damn... he's got his own compound, too, with private housing, a la The Brood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me a little bit of a Dead Zone vibe, yeah. too.
It's got a lot of Dead Zone
because it's
vibe.
Like wintry.
But there was another one there that I was saying, you know, there was something I was going, boy, this reminds me a lot of Christine or something. No, what was it? There was another movie that I said that it reminded me of.
A Cronenberg one or a Carpenter one?
I think it was a Carpenter. Doesn't matter. But it's a low budget movie that's punching way above its weight. You could tell that they really cared about the movie when they made it. Real good shots. Snow, good scenery. Taking place in the early 90s.
Yeah, 1990. It's supposed to.
So you have all the 80s kind of feel to it. It's good. It's real good. If you liked VFW, go see this one. I would say VFW is better.
Yeah, well, VFW is a little more polished.
Yeah.
Because this one, as good as it is, you can tell that it's like a bit lower budget, but. The practical effects are really, really good. Yeah. I mean, we were just like, we were sitting around drinking, watching. Every time a head exploded, we were like, yay!
My only gripe about it is that maybe like the front half of that movie, it had a few scenes in it where it was a little too dialogue heavy for that genre. Cronenberg's is actually very stark.
It is, yeah.
And you know, so was Carpenter. Carpenter's dialogue was kind of stark and slightly odd too, you know, like Assault on Precinct 13 doesn't really seem to have any natural dialogue to it.
Yeah,
the dialogue sounds very kind of wooden and
stilted, yeah,
a little bit wrong, but that's what made those movies, though. There was something that kind of gave a certain kind of vibe to that movie that made it seem kind of, what's a good word for it, illicit,
yeah,
or something, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the front half of the movie was a little too dialogue heavy in certain areas. They explained too much. Don't talk, just show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the second half, it really picked up.
Oh, it definitely did.
Yeah, it became the movie I wanted it to be in the second half. So overall, I'd still, you know, I'd give it an 8 out of 10 for the type of movie that it is.
And the guy playing the doctor was like really, he was great. He was like fucking so over the top and shit.
You reminded me now, you said it. Yeah, it did remind me of them, From Beyond.
Yeah, that's right. That's
From
right.
Beyond, remember?
Yeah.
The bad guy in this one is kind of like the same bad guy from Beyond.
Yeah,
he's a crazy mad scientist that could do things, doing the impossible with like mental powers, the pineal gland type shit. It's like that.
Another homage, and I didn't even think of this until later, but the opening card of the movie that says this movie should be played loud.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
That was a reference to Driller Killer from, I think it came out in 1981. Yeah. Abel Ferreira directed it. He also did Ms. 45, which we reviewed a long time ago. But yeah, so that was an homage to. That was an homage to Driller Killer.
Yeah, and the movie has a great fucking Carpenter-esque score. 80s style score, like a vapor or a new retrowave type score. Touches a vaporwave in it. And so even if you're kind of bored in the very beginning with kind of the dialogue, I was sitting there drinking tequila. I was jamming out to it. Because I turned it up, like he said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
he did what he was told, and he turned the volume up.
And then at the end, it almost kind of goes, like a Phantasm movie.
Yeah, kind
of. Like 3 or 4, one of the more polished Phantasm movies. You know, with fucking weird, unexplained kind of psychic phenomenon, people's heads blowing up and violence. I mean, they didn't have, you know, of course, like extra-dimensional little midgets, you know, yeah. little Jawas and shit. Didn't have that, but, you know, it's just kind of, it kind of looked and felt a little bit kind of like one of the better Phantasm movies towards at the end.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Although I'd say those practical effects probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
When that guy's head got split in half.
Yeah, that was looked pretty good. There was some really, really good, yeah. like...
And then the
head trauma in this movie.
Yeah, the bad guy's got one of his henchmen is like a maybe like a 30-year-old kind of Snake Plissken type dude. It's very similar hair, kind of that same kind of look that Krussel has, and he's got the eye patch, but he's in a black suit. But you could kind of imagine that that might be something Snake would have done for a little while or something after he got out of the suit. But the thing is, I think he gets killed in that movie. Did he get killed or did he? No, he ran off. You never saw him again, did you?
Oh, shit. Now I can't remember.
Remember that?
Well, the whole time I was like watching the movie because I know I just saw that actor in another movie recently and it was driving me crazy the whole time.
I don't think that character got killed. Remember
maybe,
that?
Maybe he did.
They had that big fight in that hallway and his partner got killed. Remember that? And he saw his head.
And he
picked
yeah,
up the gun and then he fucking just left.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever showed back up again.
Yeah, maybe he didn't. Now that you mentioned it.
Because he was kind of like, fuck. You know what I mean? Fuck this. That might have. Maybe that was supposed to be Snake.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He went off to do like the.
He had to go on to do Escape from New York.
In 2008 or whenever that was.
Yeah, whenever that was supposed to be.
Whenever that was supposed to be. Yeah.
No, that was 1997.
1997, that's right.
It would work out.
Yeah.
He's been about the right age.
Interesting.
That might have been Snake Plissken. If I think, but I don't think he died.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I don't think he did either. Because I thought everyone got killed, but then I was kind of like, maybe not.
I don't think so, man. I got to go back and see it again. I think he said fuck it and left.
Yeah.
I mean, he got badly hurt on a couple times.
Yeah.
During that, you know what I mean? But he was like, fuck this. And he left. I never remember seeing
him.
Yeah,
because I don't think he had any like loyalty to the doctor or anything. He was just like some mercenary dude that he brought in to like find the other psychic dude.
Yeah.
I think.
So and I think that was supposed to be Snake.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Well, who else with a dude who loves Carpenter movies put a guy that looks like that with an
eye
patch?
Yeah, it's like that seems like of course you would.
Of course you would.
Of course you would do that.
Yeah.
He did have lighter hair than Kurt Russell though. He had he was kind of blonde.
A little bit.
But you could dye your hair darker.
Yeah, and it wasn't quite as that long, but it was that same hairstyle.
It was.
And that was about that same build and that same look. I think that was supposed to
be Snake. We're just going to go with that.
We're just going to
say that that's who that character is
supposed to be. Until you guys who have seen it can fucking remind me the scene in which he died, I don't think he actually died.
Yeah, he might not have. Because he might have taken off before like the big main confrontation at the end.
I have to see it again.
But yeah,
fucking knock these things off.
She's like, it's right there. I'm going to push it.
To look
I'm
at him, yeah.
Push them. She likes to push things off the table. I guess all cats like to do that. But yeah, so that's probably all we got to talk about, right? Yeah. I said, I just been working on the book today, and I was actually writing about this one case. This is so fucking weird. This happened in 2000, and it's like, evidently, there was this guy in Pakistan, and he was trying to sell a mummy, like on the black market. And he was going to get in trouble for that because apparently you're not allowed to, like, sell... Oh,
Poogie's moving the camera.
Because you're not allowed to sell, like, you know, antiquities that were found in Pakistan, like, outside of Pakistan, you know what I mean? That's the Antiquities Act. So he was going to get in trouble for that, and then so they seized the mummy, and everyone was excited about it because it was, like, supposedly a Persian princess. It was kind of wrapped in an Egyptian style, but it was supposed to be like the daughter of Xerxes or something like that. So everyone was like flipping out like, wow, this is like a big like deal. But then when they started examining it, not only did they find out that it was a forgery because a lot of the like cuneiform and stuff was not correct. And like some of the, like the box that it was in was only like 250 years old, but they found out that the woman that had been wrapped as a mummy had been killed in 1996.
No, so she was
and
even anxious.
Might have been a murder victim.
Damn.
So that's what I've
whole
been.
Whole thing was fake.
So that's what I've been writing. So I don't know, like, if the people that mummified her, like, forged it, like, killed her, or if they just had some connection.
They had found a body,
or they just like found it because they thought that like whoever this woman was, that she must have been mummified like within 24 hours of her dying.
Hmm.
which would suggest that they either had a connection that was like, hey, we got a good body you can use, like at the morgue or whatever, or that they killed her themselves. Don't know who she was.
Some kind of organized crime thing, you know. Like
that's kind of what I'm thinking.
The best place to hide the body would have been in fucking plain sight, you know. We'll sell it to a rich person. And then
although it would have been like, if I guess they were trying to get like a shit ton of money by saying it's a Persian mummy, even though they didn't make mummies in Persia. But which drew more attention to it, obviously. I mean, they were trying to get $11 million for the shit. They even tried to sell it to the Met in New York, but the guy that looked at it was like, yeah, that's a fake.
Right.
Not, he didn't even see the body. He just saw pictures and he could just tell from the inscriptions. He's like, yeah, that's not, a very good forgery. Right. But yeah, it was like a fascinating case. And it's like, you don't really hear it. I had never heard of it before. And I just kind of found it while I was looking for unsolved deaths in 2000. And I was like, holy crap. I don't know if it's ever going to be resolved, but most of the cases that I write about aren't.
Yeah, somebody will rat somebody out about it.
Maybe. They might figure out. Yeah. They don't even know who the woman is or anything like that. But yeah, so that'll probably do it for today's show, I think. Hope you guys are enjoying the one that we put up earlier about old Alfred Packer, the cannibal, and also about the Donner Party. That was why I had a good time doing that show, as you can tell, because it ended up being almost 4 hours long.
He just looked at you like you said something wrong.
She's still looking at me like that. She's looking at me all cockeyed.
Like, what? She does that shit often.
Yeah, she has like she has
out of the
really.
Blue, she's like, what?
She has really distinct facial expression. She does not like it when you yawn.
Yeah, that really freaks her out. She'll yawn right in front of you.
Yeah, I guess she doesn't know what it looks like from someone else's perspective. Yeah. But like, if I yawn, she looks at me like I'm a crazy person. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
stop it!
I saw your teeth. Yeah,
yeah." Maybe she thinks I'm going to eat her head or something like that. I would never do such a thing. But yeah, she's sitting right there looking at me all crazy.
Good, all right. Shut it down.
So we're going to wrap this up. Stay safe and healthy out there, you guys. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.